Welcome, everybody, to the first ever Ring of Honor podcast here on ProWrestling.net, to the best of my knowledge. My name is Darren Guthridge. I'm going to be with you every week from now on doing this Ring of Honor TV recap. Usually I'll be joined by Hayden Glees, but Hayden is a little busy today, so I've been joined by my old NXT buddy, Zach Zimmerman. How are you, Zach?
I'm doing very good. We've actually got a double shot of audio coming for, at least for .NET members today, with the NXT audio and the Ring of Honor audio. All the freeloaders are getting this one, but it's going to be fun to get back together for audio. Hopefully we can do this more going forward.
We're getting the band back together.
That's right, getting the band back together.
We are. Yes, as Zim mentioned, this is going to be an all-access podcast for everybody. NXT audio even is going to be for membership only. If you would like to get access to that and many other audio shows, all you have to do, go over to the website and sign up to become a ProWrestling.net member. You get access to the forums. There's a good group of people in there. It's not like your usual wrestling forum. It's not a scratched hive of scum and villainy. There's some good people there. We have audio reviews of Raw, SmackDown, TNA, Lucha Underground, and all major wrestling pay-per-views. And you also get ad-free access to the website. No annoying pop-ups, no nothing. All news, all there for you. There's nothing in the way. And right now, if you go and sign up, Jason Powell has some very interesting interviews. He's in the last week interviewed Jeff Jarrett about Global Force Wrestling, Doc Gallows of New Japan Wrestling, and Rockstar Spud of TNA Impact. So very interesting audio. We have specials like this all the time over on there. It's a really good service. Both me and Zach are obviously members, have been for a long time, and have zero regrets about doing so. Now, with that being said, we'll now move on to our Ring of Honor coverage for today. This was, of course, the debut edition on Destination America. I had to wait until today to see it because Ring of Honor have changed their online policy. They've moved what was usually the Monday drop of the episodes that airs over the weekend on the Sinclair Broadcasting Networks. That has now moved to Thursday. Bit of a dick move. They offered no real heads up or maybe even refunds for the ringside members. This is now going free to all members on the same day. They're about to lose a lot of ringside members, I think. Go on, sir.
To be fair, I think it's more of a TV thing. I don't think they're doing it to spite the fan. I don't think they're doing it to be dicks. I think it's probably a TV contract thing.
Oh, I have absolutely no misgivings about that. I understand why they're doing it, but that doesn't mean I have to like it. I was used to having my Ring of Honor goodness on a Monday. We'll move aside from that, and we'll move straight into the episode. Now, before titles, we had a promo from the Briscoe brothers, Jay and Mark. Jay is obviously the world Ring of Honor champion.
Let's mention one thing real quick just off the top, because I think we should just kind of touch on this. This was the debut in the United States, anyway, of the of Ring of Honor's run on Destination America. So this was, for all intents and purposes, the first show that the, I guess, mass market that at least Destination America reaches. Not that it's that mass, but it's a pretty fair percentage of households in the U.S., definitely more than their syndication had before. So this was really the first introduction that a lot of people probably are going to get to Ring of Honor on a weekly basis going forward. So keep that in mind.
And I will. It's kind of evident to me, at least, that this maybe wasn't their ideal show to go on the first one. This tells me that this offer anyway kind of came out of nowhere for them, because ideally you'd want a brand new episode from a brand new set of tapings right up front, lots of Destination America mentions everywhere. But let's get on. Yeah, the Briscoes opened up with a backstage promo. They hyped their match later on in the night against Donovan Dijak and Jay Lethal at the House of Truth. Mark Briscoe basically told Donovan Dijak he's now in the big leagues and welcome to the jungle, essentially. And then Jay Briscoe moved on and said tonight was going to be a preview of Best in the World, which is happening in late on June, I think.
Middle of June. It's I don't know. I don't have the exact date handy, but yeah, sometime middle end of June.
Neither do I, and that's why we don't team together very often now, Zim. We're not as prepared as we used to be. But we then went into titles, and after titles, Kevin Kelly and King Carino is now being referred to, tad odd. Welcome just to the show. And Kevin Kelly announced that, indeed, Jay Lethal versus Jay Briscoe, with both titles on the line, that's the ROH World title and the ROH TV title, will be on the line for Best in the World in the middle of June. Both titles on the line. It's a big feud. They've been building to it for a while now. It's had a very nice slow burn build, and we're finally getting that match, it seems. The opening contest was between Will Ferrara, who people familiar with Raw may have seen the week before Elimination Chamber. He was the cameraman that was in the Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins backstage segment. And he's taking on New Japan's Kushida. Obviously, this is happening just after the New Japan shows, the War of the World show in particular. A lot of New Japan people still hanging around. We see one in this match, one later on in the night. Well, just a quick question straight off the bat. Do you think this was the ideal match to start off a Destination America airing?
I mean, okay, I love Kushida. I enjoy Kushida very much. I follow New Japan very closely, and he's one of the brighter young stars they have over there right now. But he's not somebody who's going to be playing a role in Ring of Honor going forward. This was a part of the War of the Worlds TV taping, the Global Wars TV tapings, I'm sorry. And so, they had the New Japan guys around, which it's a cool thing. I'm never going to complain about the New Japan guys being in a match. But just as far as, like, continuity going forward, things that are actually going to matter on these shows going forward, this is completely irrelevant. So, I mean, more or less, this show kind of happened in a vacuum, at least as far as things are going to, you know, play out going forward, aside from the title match build.
Yes, it was a very odd choice. To equate it to like a WWE version, this would be like if Raw debuted on a new network and the opening match was Curtis Axel versus Fernando of Los Matadores. It's a very empty match.
That's not fair. That's not fair at all. It's just the fact that Kushida is not somebody who is pertinent to Ring of Honor storylines whatsoever. He's just somebody who is in for this, you know, for these shows. He's not somebody who's going to be playing into storylines at any point in the next year.
Well, that's what I mean. I don't mean in terms of ability, obviously, or match quality, but in terms of recognition to even Ring of Honor guys. Will Ferrara hasn't been showcased all that much, and neither really has Kushida. He's not part of the Ring of Honor roster, so he's not going to be. No. The match, on the other hand, say what you will about how kind of empty it was going forward, but I thought the match quality was really quite high. The finish came even. Kushida hit a big right hand onto Ferrara, hit a nice moonsault for a two count, seemed to be setting up for some kicks. Ferrara got him in a few roll-up pins, ultimately didn't matter. Kushida hit him with, where are my notes?
The hoverboard lock. The mounted Kimura armbar. It's called the hoverboard lock.
Yes, it looked like he was, to my untrained eye, obviously, I'm not familiar with Kushida, it looked like he was about to botch a head scissors, but no, it was, as you said, it was a beautiful armbar. Ferrara tapped to it very quickly in about 6 minutes. I think they've worked a nice pace. In comparison to last week's opening match, which was Michael Elgin versus Caprice Coleman, a similarly kind of empty match. I had no enthusiasm for it, but that nearly bore me to tears. Whereas this one, I thought it did a really nice job of setting the pace going forward.
I thought so. I mean, again, the match happened in a vacuum because it's nothing that's going to matter going forward. But Will Ferrara is a young guy being trained well. Kushida is, you know, one of the best junior heavyweights they have over there in New Japan. And so, I mean, no real complaints. It was just kind of a match, more of a kind of a showcase for Kushida. I let him work the arm a little bit, do his falsies, and then get in that hoverboard lock for the finish. So it was fine.
As Kushida was walking up the rank, the Addiction, Frankie Kazarian and Christopher Daniels walked past. They are the ROH Tag Team Champions. Frankie Kazarian grabbed the mic off of Kevin Kelly and told everybody that next week Red Dragon will be getting their tag title rematch. For those that don't know, the Addiction kind of screwed over Red Dragon to win the titles. And Kazarian turned it around and said Red Dragon are part of the entitled generation, and they all just bitch and moan because they don't get what they want, which is odd, as Jason pointed out, because Bobby Fish is actually older than Frankie Kazarian. Tad odd there. But yeah, they said next week Red Dragon will get their shot, but it is their only shot back at the titles. This was followed immediately by Silas Young making his return to Ring of Honor. He's been out for well over 6 months now with what I believe was a broken leg. I may be misremembering that. Anyway, he's back from injury, and he's taking on Takaki Watanabe. Did I say that correctly?
Watanabe. Yeah, Watanabe. Close enough.
My apologies. They showed a replay from War of the Worlds where Young and Watanabe took on the Addiction for the tag titles. It didn't go so well for them. And after the match, Silas Young beat Watanabe. So that leads to the second match of the night, Silas Young versus Watanabe. Just want to point something out. I hope it happened on Destination America. Go on, sorry.
Watanabe and Silas Young didn't wrestle Red Dragon for the tag titles. They wrestled Gato and Moose.
Oh, my apologies. I haven't actually seen War of the Worlds. This is... Oh, that's embarrassing. Anyway, yeah, just what I hope it made it to Destination America, because this is one of my guilty pleasures of the week. Did the ROH code line make it to TV?
I mean, I wasn't paying that close of attention. It probably did, but I'm not sure.
Right, it's basically like, remember back in the 90s where they'd say, oh, free phone us and you can get all the latest information by pressing 1 and pressing 2 and all that crap? It's very outdated, but Ring of Honor have recently been showing it on their online broadcast, at least. And the prize for ringing in is you get a Women of Ring of Honor action screenshot, which is the oddest prize for a phone-in thing ever. It's like they don't have Google image search. Plus, there's only 2 women in Ring of Honor, so there's that. Anyway, I hope it makes it Destination America, because it's cringeworthy. Even bad, even worse than the advertisements they have on Ring of Honor these days. Now, we'll wrap this match up pretty quickly. There wasn't much to it. Oh, they did announce that next week, Dalton Castle will be taking on Juice and Thunder Liger in the battle of the best entrances in Ring of Honor, in my opinion. You've got Dalton Castle's cheap knockoff Queen Sung versus the most Japanese entrance ever with Jushin Thunder Liger. It's going to be fantastic. Yeah, end of the match came. About midway through, Watanabe threw Silas Young for an over-the-head German suplex. Not the move you want to be taking on the outside when you've just come back from injury. They went back in the ring. Watanabe set up for a running kick of some kind, and eventually, Saishun going up on his shoulders, fireman carry, and hitting with a spinning TKO to get the win in about 6 minutes. I've made my feelings towards Saishun clear before. Prior to his injury, I am very glad he's back. It's always good when someone can come back and work. But before his injury, he was definitely my least favourite act in all of Ring of Honor. Nothing really made sense of it. I didn't like all the cheap heat he would try and get. But first bit of praise before I throw it over to you, Zim. I will say I'm glad that it seems he's got rid of his ill-fitting moonsault finisher, which didn't really fit the gimmick all very well. But this TKO thing, I think, is a lot better suited to his character.
Sure. I mean, it was a match. It was fine. They built it up the night before with they lost their tag match, and then Young hit a move on Watanabe, laid him out, and then this was the return match for that. So I mean, it wasn't anything particularly special. It was fine. If Watanabe didn't have those German suplexes in his game, he'd be pretty sorely lacking. They sent him over here, and he's a New Japan wrestler. He was a young lion, and they sent him over here on an excursion. Hasn't been taking a lot of bookings. I guess his booking fee is pretty astronomical, and so he's been working around the New Jersey area, Philadelphia area, but not a whole lot. He's picked up some charisma, but I think they need to get him back over to Japan and get back to working on his work, because he's just he's all right, but he's not really, on par with kind of the standard of what you'd expect for kind of top tier guys over in Japan. Young is fine. This was good. It was a nice win for him. He's kind of underutilized consistently, but I don't know. That is what it is.
Hopefully you can turn it around, because, I want to like everybody, but it never clicked for me. I just didn't like pretty much anything about the act. After this, BJ Whitmer came out, flanked with Adam Page and young boy, Colby Carino, who was actually called that by the ring announcers, for Whitmer's match against Moose, who was accompanied by Vader Scott and Stokely Hathaway. Now, they cut to a replay from a few weeks ago where Whitmer stole a win off of Moose in a four-corner survival match. So this is kind of, the aftermath of that. But before the match could start, Whitmer grabbed the mic and said that he could easily beat Moose tonight if he wanted to, but he's all about giving the youngsters a chance to shine. And he turned around to Adam Page and said, I want to make sure that the future of Ring of Honor gets a chance to excel tonight. So Colby Carino, get in here. Colby Carino started, getting ready for the match. Steve Carino was kind of silent on commentary. Kevin Kelly was doing most of the storytelling, saying, he's only 18. Moose is about 3 times bigger than him. This is going to be a bloodbath. The third match of the night ended up being Colby Carino versus Moose. Colby Carino slapped Moose to begin the match. Moose laughed it off, threw him to the outside of the ring, and just proceeded to beat the ever-loving crap out of him. He swung him into the guardrail, powerbombed him against the apron, the ropes, and the floor, with Vader Scott baying for blood next to him. Whitmer and Paige were just kind of laughing at Carino. Paige even threw him back into the ring to be pinned. And Moose won the match, a complete steamroll, in about 3 minutes. Now, my question with this is, who was the babyface in all of this? Nobody came out smelling of roses on the other side of this. Had it been Whitmer versus Moose, obviously the crowd were going to be all behind Moose, but they had him throw around a 150-pound man like he was nothing, looking like a bully. Colby Carino slapped Moose to begin with, so he can't exactly get behind him. And no one's going to cheer for the Decade or Vader Scott and Stokely Hathaway. And Steve Carino just sat on his ass and did nothing about his son being beaten up by a monster. So this was a really odd segment for me. What do you think?
Well, Steve Carino is the babyface. They're obviously building to the big Steve Carino BJ Whitmer match, which Steve Carino is fine. I actually enjoy him in the right match and in the right story and all that. But and I think he's very good on commentary. But I'm never going to be excited about anything involving BJ Whitmer. So it is what it is. I mean, this is more, I guess, to make Moose look like a complete monster going into. He's getting he's kind of a number one contender now, if that's a thing. Like he's going to be getting a number one contendership match at the Best in the World pay-per-view. So this was, it served its purposes. It one step closer to Whitmer versus Carino and also make Moose look like a monster, which he sure does. Guy's good.
Well, he does, but you could show him be a monster against pretty much anybody. This didn't make him look like a monster because he was throwing around a tiny little person.
Him look like a monster.
Okay, well, agree to disagree on that point. But I will say this about Moose. Considering he's only been in the game for about a year, he's come on leaps and bounds, much faster than any other kind of green prospects I have on the roster at the meet, in my opinion. He's nowhere near ready, don't get me wrong, but his progression really has amazed me. Alright, moving on. We cut to Jay Lethal outside in the car park, running up to Truth Martini and telling him to stop reading the book and throw it away in the trash, if all being well. Jay Lethal said that they wanted him to wrestle the Briscoes tonight, and he was clearly not having any of it. And Martini basically just told him to calm down. He'd already handled it, don't worry. You talk the talk, I walk the walk, that kind of thing. They walked off together. Then we cut to a new segment at this point. Which was, we cut to a new segment, which is called Inside Ring of Honor, with, let me get her name right, the exotic goddess Mandy Leone. That name means we have three women in Ring of Honor. Go team! She introduced this new segment where they recapped the Adam Page AC Hayes feud. I don't know whether this is done for the benefit of Destination America viewers. Hopefully it was, because that was a good idea. One of the only production flourishes they kind of put on this show to welcome in new guys. And it just quickly recapped their animosity from the last few weeks. I really actually been enjoying the Adam Page ACH feud. Is there any good coming out of the Decade? It's kind of the emergence of Adam Page, who I think has a real bright future if he can find the right character and get the hell away from BJ Whitmer.
We'll see.
Okay. That led us into the...
It was also to build up a pay-per-view match, ACH and Masked Idol versus Whitmer and Page.
That felt odd. I felt this was going to build to... Because Page has gone over in unclean fashion twice now, so I thought this was building towards a third match where ACH gets his victory. I think the addition of Whitmer and Seidel doesn't really... aid the match. Again, adding BJ Whitmer to anything does not make it good. So I'd much rather have just seen the singles match. But Matt Seidel can do his thing. If they just have Adam Page in there, would be cool. Right, now it's time for our main event. The House of Truth came out with Donovan Dijak, Jay Lethal, Truth Martini, and Jay Diesel. Far too many J's in Ring of Honor. They need to cut that out. They walked to the ring, and Kelly basically said, because Jay Lethal was in street clothes, it would have been obvious that Truth Martini had managed to pull some strings and get Jay Diesel pulling the match instead of Jay Lethal. The Briscoes came out to a nice pop, and we got our main event underway, which was the Briscoes versus Donovan Dijak and Jay Diesel. At this point, they cleared up something that they hadn't really cleared up before in the show, which was that both titles were going to be on the line. I mentioned it earlier, but they didn't really clarify it until Lethal mentioned that he was going to win the ROH World title. Quite a lot of House of Truth shenanigans in this. At one point, Jay Lethal got hold of the ROH World title. Jay Briscoe didn't take too kindly to this, got distracted. But the Briscoes were pretty much in control all the way through. Whenever Dijak or Diesel were on offense, it was kind of a little bit flat, but whenever the Briscoes get going, it's good. Finish came when Jay Briscoe got the hot tag, cleared house, and he and Mark hit the Doomsday Device on Jay Diesel to pick up the win in about 11 minutes. After the match, as Jay Briscoe was staring down Jay Lethal, Donovan Dijak pulled Mark Briscoe out the ring and gave him the amazing, I must say, it's a fantastic finishing move. The Feast Your Eyes on the outside. There was a bad piece of editing where they kind of missed the bulk of it. You only just saw the impact of Dijak kneeing Mark Briscoe in the face. Jay Briscoe immediately dived over the ropes onto Dijak, threw him in the ring, set him up for the Jay Driller. This brought in Lethal. He tried to break it up, but Briscoe just turned it around and hit the Jay Driller on Jay Lethal and posed above him with the ROH title to bring the ROH TV to a close. Thoughts on the main event, Sim?
It was good. I you know, nothing great, but it was fine. I think the Briscoes are probably one of the acts that, you know, you want to introduce first and foremost to your new audience. You know, obviously there's a bunch of other groups too, the Kingdom among others. They'll show up next week, but so yeah, this was a fine showcase for the Briscoes, which, like I said, I mean, they're one of the, they're the longest tenured, they're just the most associated with Ring of Honor, I guess would be fair to say, maybe aside from somebody like Roderick Strong or something. But so yeah, this was a good way to showcase them in the main events in the first show, and also kind of a decent way to, in a roundabout way, I guess, showcase the heel tactics of the House of Truth, you know, kind of having Lethal sneak out of the match and instead having his two heaters wrestle the match for him. I actually kind of like that touch. The match itself wasn't particularly great, but it was fine. And yeah, like you were talking about, I don't know if you're just high on his finisher, but I think Dijak's got a lot of potential. He's a tall guy, good, solid frame. He can work. I was at Beyond Wrestling this past weekend, saw him work Eddie Edwards. That was a really good match. And yeah, that finish you're talking about is pretty sweet. It's like a backbreaker rack, and then he flips it over into a go to sleep, like the tall way. If that makes any sense, it's pretty cool. So yeah, those are pretty much my thoughts on the main event. As a whole, the show was not the show that I would necessarily have gone with on, you know, with, had they been able to kind of plan things out the way they wanted to. I don't think this is the first show that you're going to, you know, present to your mass audience, but I don't know. It closed on a relatively high note. And if nothing else, it did a good job of building up the title versus title match at Best in the World.
Yeah, I pretty much echo every statement you had there. It felt, the main event, just to go back to that briefly, it felt functionary, it felt purposeful. It's what, again, not to make this comparison all the time, but it's what WWE would do. You know, you're sending the Putty Patrol to be beat down by the Briscoes, get all the heat on them, make Jay Lethal look like he's going to cheat to win a Best in the World. Pretty functionary stuff, bread and butter, but it's fine, it makes sense. Yeah, Donovan Dijak, I do think, has a lot of upside. He has all the tools to make this work. And if the attitude adjustment and the go to sleep had a baby, it would be Feast Your Eyes. He doesn't hit it all the time perfectly. There's a lot that can go wrong in that move, but when he does, it looks sweet. Overall, not the greatest episode of Ring of Honor TV, and definitely not one I think they would have put forward had they known in advance about this deal. Now, I think there's only two episodes left of this taping anyway, so there's a double-edged sword here. They could have told Destination America, yes, we'll have the contract, but maybe we wait 2 weeks, we'll have a brand new show for you, we'll flood it full of Destination America mentions, we'll basically have a new start off point, and we can, you know, hit the ground running, no problem. But that then means they have to turn down 2 weeks more money, so I understand putting this here. Go on, sir.
And let's also remember that this thing with Destination America is it's kind of a syndication deal on its own, in that Destination America is not getting the first run of Ring of Honor. They're getting it after all of the Sinclair syndicated networks are getting it. So, like, in my market, I never had Ring of Honor before, but Sinclair just made a deal with New England Sports Network, our local sports channel here. And so we're going to start getting Ring of Honor, which will be the first run of Ring of Honor, the newest episode. And I believe that's going to air on like a Friday night. And then the following Wednesday, Destination America is going to be airing the show that we got on that Friday night. So they're not, yes, they kind of have to bow to the master of Destination America, but at the same time, they're not, they're still Sinclair. They're not all about Destination America.
Well, it makes sense. You know, Ring of Honor is not losing any money on this deal, basically. They're obviously going to be making a good bit of coin for this, for essentially no extra money spent, at least on these next few shows. They were already in the bag. Yeah, had they had the heads up and been able to plan, I think they could have put forward a better show than this. Obviously, they would have showcased, as you said, the Kingdom. They would have, the Briscoes would obviously have been there. They could have touched on a lot more bases. Just a heads up, they said for next week, we're getting quite a loaded show. We're getting the Kingdom versus Bullet Club. We're getting, wait, is it a six-man, I presume?
I believe so, yes.
Sweet, that means it'll be Adam Cole, God damn it, I've forgotten all the names of the
Mike,
Kingdom.
Adam Cole, Michael Bennett, and Matt Taven versus, I believe it's going to be Styles and, I don't know if it's going to be the Young Bucks or Gallows and Anderson, but one of those two.
Either combination is gold. We're also going to have Red Dragon versus The Addiction for the ROH Tag Titles, and as I said, Dalton Castle versus Juice and Thunder Liger. I don't think I've quite put across just how excited I am for that match. It's going to be awesome. Well, that brings us to a close. Thank you very much for listening. We, as we mentioned at the top of the show, please do go check out all the membership site of ProWrestling.net. You will not regret it. Audio, add the access to the website, access to the forum, and much more. You will not regret a single penny you spend on ProWrestling.net. Join us back here next week. Where it'll be me and Hayden Glead going over Ring of Honor TV. And for Zach Zimmer, I've been Darren Guthridge.